Blog Talk Radio.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go and what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Come on, wake up, everybody. Teach a new way.
have to say.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more boxing thinking.
Time for thinking ahead. Come on.
Right on.
Simply cause our hair is long.
All you know is we stand apart.
Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Take it back and take it back. Don't punish me for brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can't see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Ooh.
Right, right on. Right on.
Welcome to Black Sister Talk, where you can grieve, a community therapy platform breaking the stigma on mental health in ourselves, families, and communities one conversation at a time. With host LaWanda Chambers, licensed professional counselor, a.k.a. your therapist's favorite therapist, putting care back into you and the community. Black Sister Talk is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank Radio Network and is broadcasted on the Blog Talk Radio platform.
Happy Saturday, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe, the community therapy platform. I am Ms. Sister, your therapist's favorite therapist, giving you yet another unfiltered, candid conversation. I am so happy to have another opportunity to intrigue, provoke thought, and lift someone up today, and hope that you are able to learn something from today's show that is going to help you in your future. I want to give a quick disclaimer. If you're new to the Black Sister community, I welcome you. I want you to know you can be safe and yourself here. This is a space created for Black women to breathe. I practice this thoroughly and openly and suggest that you do the same. No need to have it all figured out here. I'm here to help you recognize the light within you and want you to see yourself shine the way that I do. So, let's be free, okay? Last week was a much needed conversation, and today will serve as part two to aid with representation and relatability, to let you know that you are not alone and that you are more than a warrior. Today, I have Walter Williams, licensed professional counselor, life coach, and the owner of Think and Grow, Mind, Body, and Spirit, with us to engage in conversation about men and the stigma around mental health. I highly endorse this brother as another change agent who represents for the culture. Walter is a passionate man who believes in being a servant leader, hailing from the south side of Chicago. Walter studied rehabilitation psychology at UW-Madison. He is a former youth court worker and a high school counselor in the Dade County area. In addition to this, he serves on the AOTA Council for the Department of Instruction and the Wisconsin Alumni Advisory Council for UW-Madison. Walter is the CEO of Think and Grow, LLC, a mental health and life coaching company based in Wisconsin. Walter has led several organizations whose focus is to uplift the Black community through economics, empowerment, and empathy. Come on now, the three E's. I love them. Walter works tirelessly to promote equity and unity while demystifying mental health. Come on, brother. His love for supporting others is endless, and it shows in his work ethic because he believes in providing an authentic mental health experience for each and every individual that he encounters. Come on now, let me continue to put some respect on this brother's name. I'm rolling out the red carpet. This is what the red carpet looks like. As he strives to shift the stigma of mental health by evolving its clients through a unique individualized experience. They are committed to providing space for clients to acknowledge, accept, and adapt their lives to move them closer to their personal goals. They take pride in walking alongside each person every step of their journey. Hey, Walter, how you doing, brother? How you doing? I thank you, thank you, thank you for coming on to the show.
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome here. Anytime you get ready, Walter, I am very happy that you agreed to come on the show. I hope that that introduction
Absolutely.
Did you some justice. Brother,
my heart is fluttering right now.
And what you represent.
Sure.
So I appreciate you. And I want to be able to give you the roses now because, brother, you're doing an amazing job, the work that you're doing in the community. I very much appreciate it. And like I said from the beginning, I endorse this brother. This brother is the truth, not only because he's from Chicago, y'all, but because he definitely does the job. Okay?
Yes, y'all, indeed.
That's right. So, Walter, I'm glad you joined us today. I want to let everybody know. Sisters, I know we always say sisters, but Black Sister Talk is just not a show for sisters. It's a show for anybody that deals with a sister, okay? So,
in honor of
Mental Health Month for men, we decided to make sure we had men representation on the show this month because we are only a part of the solution. We need to bring the whole community together so we can look at these issues together and come up with solutions that are collaborative. So today, sisters, we're going to be breaking the stigma of Black men in therapy and having a discussion about what can we do. People, what can we do? Last week was a great show, which allowed us to hear from men about their experiences with mental health, which created space to have a discussion about the barriers that exist when men need help but do not get it. Traditional ideas tied to Black masculinity have caused many Black men to struggle with being vulnerable and open up about mental health challenges. It's no secret that exposure to racism and discrimination are linked to various adverse mental health outcomes. The effects of systemic racism on Black men in America have been persistent and profound. Black men who are not only affected by the general barriers to medical treatment that many in the Black community face, but who also have internalized certain behaviors that fit within the social constructs of Black masculinity, ultimately impacting their help-seeking behaviors. Despite known or suspected mental health issues, Black men are for numerous reasons, often reluctant to seek that treatment. So I'm hoping that Walter would be able to assist me in this discussion about topic as we demystify the challenges and the stigmas that we experience in our communities around this topic. I know I just said a mouthful, and I know y'all over there probably breathing right now, like, my God, today, Ms. Chambers. But y'all know this is going to be our last show for our mid-season break. We'll be back in September, so I had to leave you guys with a bang. I had to put the cherry on top in the best way possible. So I am very happy that we're going to close on this topic so we can leave from this conversation and do some work. And when we get back together again, we're able to check in and see what tools you were able to use over this season that helped you over your summer, okay?
All right, now.
How are you feeling about this stigma around mental health, especially being a black male therapist working in the field. What are some of the stigmas and the stereotypes that you have encountered in your office or in the community?
Yeah, good question. And, hey, you spot on with so much, Ms. Chambers. First off, thank you for allowing me to share this space with you and then connect with your listeners and your viewers and all them good people. Those stigmas, those stereotypes, I would say there's a laundry list, but just some that come to mind off the top, you know, this idea that we're less than of man or non-manly to seek help or seek therapy. I think it's a lot of stigma around this idea that there's nothing wrong with us, you know, because we always have to present to be strong and present to be on point, and anything that goes against that causes a friction and causes a disconnect. I think additionally, there's myths and stereotypes that black men got it together all the time because it's what we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to keep it together. And not being able to have it together is just unconventional. So I think this prevents men from being able to talk about and address some of those deep-rooted issues that lie dormant, but it's eating them alive every day, and it shows up in their behavior as it pertains to their relationships with themselves, with their families, with their kids. And it's important that we keep poking holes in them so that men can renew their minds and make a recommitment to themselves as men more than anything.
I'm glad you hit on a lot right there, because you're right, black men are expected to have it all together. But what you know is, I know we're talking about the men, but isn't that strange how the black men feel like they're supposed to have it all together and the women are over here feeling like they're always supposed to have it together? Where is the space to be vulnerable? You know, where is the space for a man to be emotional or show other emotion outside of just anger and disgust?
Yeah. You spot on. Like, women are superwomen, right? Like, you all tend to things that us men would never and could never imagine tending to. Like, having babies and giving birth and nurturing and things like that, whereas we just never would fully understand that. On top of that, y'all take care of us and everybody else needs. But I think for men, it's important that we begin to build the space for ourselves, and because I'm a true believer that iron sharper iron and steel sharper steel. So being able to get around other men and other brothers who are doing the work and have done the work, so they can normalize that seeking help and talking through issues are okay. I think so many times we consume a lot of misinformation through social media, news, and other outlets that make us think that that's not okay. You know, so I think being able to provide space for men to do that is important. That's something that I'm often intentional about when I'm able to get with brothers and able to build that community where we can talk about things that outside of that space may be unconventional or may be uncomfortable. So being able to phrase it in a way, I think, is important. I also would love to see it happen more across, because to your point, like, it's a collective, right? It's men and women helping one another. I would love to see more of that dialogue across tables. Because there's so much that women teach us that we don't acknowledge that they teach us, right? Especially if you grew up like myself in a single parent home or a house full of women, I learned so much about myself and about women. But being able to learn and sharpen one another across genders, I think, is amazing as well, or self-identified genders for that point.
I like that you brought that up, Walter, the fact that you did grow up in a, you know, a single mother household around a bunch of women, because that is I don't want to say the norm, because I don't want to say that the norm is for our community have broken households. I, too, come from one that's a single mother home, so I can speak freely about this and say growing up in that type of environment definitely affects your mental health in ways that you don't acknowledge maybe until you get older. So growing up, my question to you would be, growing up in a household with women, what were some of the things that you learned? What were some of your experiences? How was mental health dealt with?
Ooh, that's a loaded question, Ms. Chambers. So So growing up,
come
I
on now, we live
Chicago.
In Chi. We came from Chi Town, so
yeah.
I'm ready for the answer.
Yeah.
I'm probably got some similar stuff, brother.
Because yeah, I already know, you know what I'm saying. And growing up Southside Chicago, mom, you know, my mom was the queen pin in the hood. She sold drugs, she used drugs, crack cocaine to be exact, you know what I'm saying. And so that's one sector. Then my grandmother, prior to that, she was a business owner. She was a chef, cook, had a couple of restaurants. You know what I'm saying. I had a sister in the house as well who got caught up in the streets, dealing drugs and whatnot. So it became a cycle that I was noticing. And grandma, she didn't deal drugs. She sold meals, but I saw how cyclical those things started to show up. So I would say the mental health component of our house, it was addressed through the use of drugs. It was addressed through not addressing the deep-rooted issues that were taking place in our family. And this is me being able to look back at that situation now. Because it was easy for mom to, and now that I know a lot more about her trauma, you know, may she rest in peace, I have a whole new perspective, but knowing that she was masking her pain in the substance, because that was her only escape from the pain that she endured growing up from Alabama to coming to Chicago and some of the experiences she had, you know, same with grandma who was married and who grew up in a very abusive household with her dad, who was aggressive, and her being silent in so many ways. And a lot of times projecting that energy onto us as her grandkids, you know, giving us the treatment that her dad gave her. So needless to the question, how is mental health addressed? It wasn't flat out addressed. It was really numbed. It was, what's another word? It was just pushed to the side. It was masked. That's the word I want to use.
It was masked
because it was just easier. Yeah, it was easier to find ways to escape versus look the issues right in the face and address it. You know, so that caused a lot of dysfunction in our family where my mom and my sister were having beef and grandma was doing things, and it just became very complicated. But I learned from those situations, right? I learned how I wanted to be a better brother. I learned how I wanted to be a better husband, how I wanted to be a better father. For the things that I saw amongst my family at that time. Does that make sense?
Oh, Walter, that makes a lot of sense. And I definitely can relate to your humble beginnings, because when you grow up in chaos like this and like that I grew up in, it can either turn you to a really, really dark place, or it can turn into, and sometimes you even go into the dark end before you come out of it, because it's a journey and it's a learned behavior. And I'm bringing this up because childhood trauma plays a really big part in mental health. And for men, very young, at a very young age, you see a lot of things, experience a lot of things, but you're told that you can't feel. I hear young men say, I'm I don't feel anything. Mm. Oh, I get a whooping. And when I get a whooping, I don't cry. It don't hurt me. I'm like, yeah, you got a whip right there, though. Something happened. Because these things that happen, this depression, this anxiety, you know, we hear about this with women all the time, depression, anxiety, eating disorders. But what's alarming is that these same issues are very much prevalent for men at a concerning rate.
Absolutely.
However, they're not
talked
about. And so I want us to be able to have this candid conversation, because even though we are professionals, it does not take us away from being a human being and having some of these same similar experiences to you guys. Some of us very well may be going through things right now, and you may not understand or know it because of the way we handle it. And it's sad to say that you can function in such dysfunction, because that has been the life. So to have a conversation around stigma is to have a conversation around what the problem is, and saying, hey, I too have been through stuff like you. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But this is how I overcame it, because growing up with family members that are heavily in the streets selling drugs, like, that becomes a rite of passage. That becomes something that is passed on down to you, because growing up in Chicago, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see gangbangers. You're going to see grandmas, selling drugs. Yes, I did say grandma. You're going to find reverend selling drugs. Yes, I did say the preacher. And that's going to also be another level in society, in your psyche, to say, well, if this is the house of the Lord, how can I trust God if they in here selling drugs? You understand what I'm saying?
Look how many people left the church. Absolutely.
You understand what I'm saying, brother? So when we're talking about an issue, we got to talk about the issue for what it is, because we get so caught up in what goes on in our house stays in our house, that what goes on in our community also then trickles down and stays in our community, and the problem is never resolved. So we have to pull a bull by the horn and say, this is the problem, because that mental health is going on. These are all unhealthy coping skills and survival. Okay,
exactly.
You're talking about survival. You talked about the migration from the South to Chicago, brother. Come on, man.
Yeah.
What you finna say, Walter?
You know, look, because you got me hyped over here. You said you preaching right now. Sister Chambers, you preaching right now. Black sister talk.
Yes,
you mentioned a lot of great things about the boys getting a whooping and then putting on this stern exterior that it's not phasing me anymore. And you said, when they say, like, nothing happened, but you're right, there is something that's happened, right? They begin to become silent. They begin to lose their vocabulary, lose their language to express how they're feeling. So now what it does, it gives this impression that any harm or any abuse or any aggression that comes their way, they have to sit and take it versus being able to express how they're making them feel, right? And I think that's what happens to us boys at a young age. Our voice is taken away, right? Stop crying for you something to cry about. Huh? What?
Excuse
like,
me? What?
Stop crying like a little girl.
You just
girl,
beat the hell
right?
out of
right?
me.
Stop.
That's why I'm crying.
Exactly. How the hell are you going to tell me to stop crying and you look doing this whooping or this switch out? Because back in my day, we get a switch to us.
Don't get it.
You know, so it calls us to become silent and not know how to express ourselves. So we matriculate through our boyhood and teenage years, building this strong exterior. That's just one piece of it, not to talk about the environment and the community, right? Because you talked about survival and how we had to learn to do that. And a lot of us as men, we still stuck in survival mode versus living mode. We're not living. We just try to survive every day. And when do we shift from just surviving to living the best life that we're supposed to live? Because I do believe we all destined to live the life we want to live, but we have to push ourselves to that point. But until we stop telling our boys to stop crying and stop, you know, stop expressing themselves, I think if we can begin to disrupt that at an early age, we will then build up a generation of boys who become men who know how to say, hey, man, what you did hurt my feelings, and I would like you not to be out again. Or, hey, sister, what you did made me sad, and I would like you not to do that. Or whatever it is, being able to express that becomes very important. But instead, we begin to define ourselves by our actions, by what we can do, by the work. By how much money we make and how much protection we can have, or how bad we can whoop somebody's butt, or whatever the case is. So we have to start to disrupt those things at an early age.
And you know what? I'm gonna tell y'all exactly what that is. We're breaking traditions. We have so many traditions in our culture that we don't even recognize as traditions. We can celebrate Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We can celebrate the 4th of July. We can celebrate Juneteenth. We can celebrate all of these things, but do we recognize? And I talked to another brother who brought this up to me, Brother Liston, over at the Daddy Doula. Me and him, we were having a very detailed conversation around what a tradition is and how the spanking of our children have become a tradition, how yelling and cussing at our kids have become a tradition, how disrespecting our children have become a tradition. Oh, I'm your mama, so you going to do what I say. We got to have respect.
Not as I do,
Exactly. Don't you hate that? if that was a person, that person would be 10 feet tall. You understand me?
Straight up.
Do as I say, not as you see me do. Period.
Yeah, it's like,
what?
Yeah. I struggle with that. You know, I grew up, you know, the wine heads that come up when I was on the, you know, I sat outside on the court, on the block or whatever in Chicago. you know, in the crackheads and the wine heads, you're like, look, young brother, don't drink, don't do drugs. And I'm like, huh? Like, how could you tell me to do something that you sit here doing in my face? And I struggled with that as a boy, but as I got older, I looked back. But them, that was, they reached their plateau. Like, that's all they would ever see themselves as. And they saw me as somebody who could not get stuck in that trap. You know, but hearing you talking about tradition reminds me of this story. This little girl, she was in the kitchen with her mom, and she watched her mom cut the size of the chicken off and put it in a pan in the oven. And the little girl asked her, like, Mama, why you do that? She like, I don't know. I did it because Grandma did it. She went to Great-Grandma, asked Grandma, and Grandma was like, I don't know. I did it because my mama did it. So she went to Great-Grandma, and Great-Grandma was like, we cut the size of the chicken off because we had no pans big enough. So you mean to tell me all these years we've been cutting off the size of the chicken? Grocery store had to be cutting off the size of the chicken. You know
understand
what I'm saying?
What
so you throwing all this good chicken away? You got pans big enough now. We're not back in slavery. We're not back in those times. We have pans and pots that can hold the chicken. So you have to, one, be curious and ask questions. Why is this happening, right? And being able to have the courage and bravery to ask why it's happening and then to determine, is this the best use of my resources? Because you're throwing out good chicken or you're throwing out opportunities or you're not exploring opportunities because you think that that's the way it's supposed to be. No. Ask questions, you know what I'm saying? Break that tradition. And that little girl was being able to disrupt that behavior that was happening generation after generation. So you got to break that generation. It's like the curse is what I label it as because it becomes a curse after a while.
Exactly. I'm so glad you brought that up,
yeah.
Walter, because that's one of my favorite examples to bring up here on the show, actually, because, again,
story?
Yeah, absolutely, brother, absolutely. That's why I know we
listen.
Chi-town all day long.
All day long.
It's a different kind of swag, y'all. That's all I'm saying. It's a
all
different
time,
type of swag.
Yeah, you got to know it to know it. Yeah, you got to know it to know it.
Period. So what I'm saying is I say that so often because generation after generation, our children, I like that the kids are speaking up this generation, but generations before, the tongue was stricken, and that's why we don't have as many critical thinkers. We don't have people that are taking the initiative because they have gotten adept to getting by. This is why we have so many people that's focused on trying to get Social Security and get a free check and plan to have mental health issues that they don't have. So they end up having those issues that they said they had because they've been taking this medication and they've been trying to beat the system for so long. And now you really are what you said you didn't want to be, which was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just talk
and
about
that's
the that
power what we
that
say.
Is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And it's your accent.
Absolutely.
Because if me growing up and seeing my family, they lived off Social Security for their entire lives. It was a generational thing. And it wasn't until I was taken to get a psychological examination. I had to tell my mother. I said, girl, I'm not going in here to play crazy. What you talking about? I get straight A's. I know how to. They told you I was a genius, baby. What you going to do with that?
Exactly.
I can't get a check today from it, but I hope you get rich in the future. What you going to do? You know, that's what she said to me. And I'm looking at her like, excuse me? She like, you might be a genius now, but this ain't going to put no food on the table this week. And I was just not comprehending that because it was a survival thing for her. And let's speed it up because I can be transparent and honest with y'all. All of that mess my mother was doing over years, from the selling drugs to being in the streets to all of what she had to do to get by. My mother is a paranoid schizophrenic. She can't do much for herself. She don't trust nobody. She don't leave the house, and she's very afraid. And see, that ain't no way for nobody to want to live. You understand
what
I'm saying?
That's not living. Yeah, that's not living.
That's not living. Mm-hmm. That's not living. Mm-hmm. And generationally, we've had other family members in our home to have issues like that, and it to be looked over, and just nothing to be done. Now, speed it up to my generation. I'm out here trying to get help. I'm out here constantly trying to get help, and I'm fighting against the stigma. And do you understand that there's no assistance out here to help her, her psychiatrist, the court system, the case managers, the everybody that she has on her team? Nobody has helped her.
Yeah.
I've been advocating for my mother for 3 years, so I can let you guys know that the stigma around mental health is very real, because the person that's going through it doesn't even see it as a problem and doesn't think anything is wrong. We have to talk about what mental health looks like and what mental illness is. You understand what I'm saying? You go to the gym and you work out. You want to build your muscle because you want to be buff. Well, you got to build your mental just like your physical. This is all in alignment. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So when we're talking to y'all about this mental health stigma, we can look at this thing professionally. We can look at this thing socially, culturally, and internally, which also touches on your spirituality.
Yes.
This is a serious matter. And as it pertains to young men, I know I didn't went on a little tangent because y'all know when I get fired up, I just...
You preach it, talk that talk.
I let y'all know what's going on because I don't have nothing to hide. I like to be transparent.
And I don't need to hide it. Put it on the table.
But that's what we have to be okay with doing, speaking up. It don't need to be no secret. Let me be an example to let you know it don't have to be no secret, because if you don't talk about it, you're not going to get the help that you need. And you're going to continue
to
suffer.
What you don't reveal. Absolutely.
Exactly. You will self-destruct dealing with these things alone. So if you see something that's going on, I want you to be able to at least identify that there is a problem and not second-guess yourself, especially our little boys.
Absolutely. Can I touch on a few things you said? Because you was preaching. We might have to have a collection plate or something after this, because you preaching right now, Sister Chambers.
Do you understand? They said they come to church on Saturday. This they pregame.
Oh, man. That's exactly it. You know, Carter G. Woodson said, if you can control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his actions, right? And I think about how much we consume, like just meditate on the worst of the worst, and how that shows up in our body. And a lot of times in that, when we meditate, or our parents meditate on their fears or their shortcomings or their limitations, they then project that onto their kids, right? Kind of to what you were saying, your mom said, like, you may be a genius, but when you get older, whatever, it's like, no, mama, don't project that on me. Like, don't tell me this. Don't limit my ability to be who I want to be. Don't put in my head that I'm only going to arrive so far. You know what I'm saying? When we talk that, like, look beyond the hills, which come in your head, right? You got to look beyond and see how far you can go. But a lot of times when our parents and our community project those fears onto us, and then in that we get stuck, right? And it's like, have you ever been in somebody's crib and you walked in and it's funky in there? You're like, dang, it's stinky here. But it's like they've been sitting in that funk all that time, but they can't smell that it's funky in there. You know, because their neurons have stopped firing to where they can't no longer smell that it's BS going on in the crib. So when somebody else walk in, they're like, whoa, what y'all got going on in here, right? So sometimes it takes someone else to point out that there's something that stinks, or there's a bad odor, or that something's wrong. And I think that's what mental health comes in, right? And it's important that we don't shame people, but unfortunately that's what pushes people away. When we start to shame individuals for their behaviors and their actions, it does cause someone to become silent and not want to speak on it. Because if I come to you and say, hey, this is something I've done, you'd be like, why you did that? And well, out the bed, I'm like, no. Like, that now that makes me silent, right? Now that makes me not want to comment, confess, or to share, or to talk about what it is that I've done, so I can learn how not to do that no more. So as we stop shaming our kids or shaming other men, shaming women, and open up a space for them to come and lay their burdens down so that we can chop it up, our people going to be stuck, unfortunately. But we have to be able to move beyond that and say, hey, regardless of what you think about me, I need to do this for my healing. I need to do this for my growth. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully to your listeners, for those who may be finding themselves, that they're fearful, that they're scared, that that they don't think they can, that you don't project it on your kids. You don't project it on your sister, your brother, or your partner. You know, you let them know, hey, I'm scared for me, but don't let my fear stop you. You go do your thing, because my story is not your story. My journey is not your journey.
Right, Walter. That's right. That's right.
So now, you're spot on. You're spot on with that.
And that's the
truth,
though.
I just think it's, Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
now.
Walker. You my guest. So you go ahead. Ms. Thomas, we're on here talking all the time. So I want these brothers to hear you speak, because when we're able to represent, I'm a black woman. You understand me? I'm authentically a black woman. You're going to see me every week with a new hairdo, a new color, whatever. I'm still a black woman.
Right. So you right.
My clients be looking like, man, Ms. Thomas, where you going? I'm like, no, I know. I've been a city girl before the city girls became a thing. Okay, I mean, y'all know that. See what I'm saying?
City who?
So, you gonna get what you get. You gonna get that swag. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you gonna get a real person. I need y'all to understand. Y'all got black people out here that look just like you. That's professional. That's doing the work for the culture and understand what's going on with you. Where you ain't got to be breaking every alphabet letter down to the lowest, you know, term for a person to understand what's going on with you. That's what
Absolutely.
I'm saying. So
Absolutely.
At least understand on the front line, it's people that look like you, that's representative of your culture. Go ahead and get yourself somebody that look like you to help you if that
mm-hmm.
has been a barrier. You understand what I'm saying? Because
that,
you know something is wrong.
Absolutely. And that's a part of the problem. That's a part of the problem, unfortunately. There's not many black therapists, you know, that can serve our people at the rate in which our people are needed to be served. You know, here in Wisconsin, I mean, it's a handful of us. And, you know, you can walk down the block and see everybody on one block. Like, yep, they go to all the black therapists. You know what I'm saying? So it's the barriers are there. And then when some of our black folks get in front of our white colleagues, you know, they just shut down because automatically they're like, I don't know if this person is going to fully understand my story or who I am or my experience. And yet working with a black therapist, you know, it's like you got to explain those things, you know. I remember a guy, I was doing an intake assessment for him, and he, because I do telehealth work, so he got on the screen and he was like startled, like, you're the therapist? I'm like, yeah, what's up, brother? He like, man, I expect you to be some old white man with a white collar shirt and a pipe in his hand. I'm like, what? No, I have my fitted cap on with a T-shirt. But he was like, man, I'm just so happy to see you because now I know you understand me. You know what I'm saying? So there was two things that happened there. One, he was just wild by the fact he saw our brother on the screen across from him. And two, he felt like he didn't have to try to fully explain all of his experience because he knew that I'll understand to a degree. What I don't understand, I'll say, hey, I don't get that, brother. Help me understand that, you know. But it's just so important that you do find someone who can relate to you, who can understand your story. Yet, I know in Wisconsin here, because I can speak for other cities. Well, I can't speak for a few other cities, but I know being here is limited. It's limited. But that doesn't mean folks that can't get help and support, right? There's so many ways to feed your mind, to feed your spirit, like the way YouTube is, books you can read, communities you can build yourself, you know, because I believe that you don't have to see a therapist to do the work and do the growth. I don't believe that. I'm saying that as a therapist and as someone who's also in therapy, right? Like there's so many ways to do. You just have to be intentional. You mentioned earlier about going to the gym to get buff. I like that analogy, but I'll take it a step deeper. What if we go to the gym so we can live a healthy lifestyle? Right? The results
exactly.
will be getting buff. Right? If we go with a different intention, that me showing up to this gym every day is for a greater cause, for me to be healthy, for me to face any health complications, for me to have endurance to run around with my kids, for me to outlive, like for my personal reason is to outlive my parents. Both my parents passed when I was 14, 15. So I didn't get a chance to see what health implications they may see. So I'm like, ooh, I might have to cut that swine out of my diet because I know I have blood pressure running my family and I ain't trying to die of a heart attack or a stroke. And I ain't shunning nobody who eat pork, but I know that's something that I can control. I can control what I eat. But because my deeper meaning is I want to live, right, a healthier life and outlive my parents, the results become I have a nice physique, right? My legs look all right. My arms look okay. So that comes when you have a deeper reason, a deeper purpose. And I think that's what a lot of our men have to start to meditate on. Like, what's your purpose? Like, what's your why? What's the deeper meaning behind it? And allow that to drive them. Women, too. Women, too.
I couldn't agree with you more, Walter. And I think that what takes us to this next part of it with this mental health, right?
Okay.
There's not enough role models. These young men don't have their fathers a lot of the time or any real role models around them. And the ones that they do see as role models become the drug dealers, become the pimps, become who's ever on television, mm-hmm. who has these shiny things. I mean, us growing up, we didn't have all of this internet and all of this access. A lot of these children are depressed because they don't have stuff. They just like, I'm depressed because I'm broke, damn it. Do you understand that? Do you understand I'm depressed because I ain't got the J's and my mom over here giving her money to this nigga and he over here buying stuff he wants for other bitches? Let's just be 100. Because that's what, y'all know Miss Chambers cuss every once in a while.
Okay.
It's Saturday, it ain't Sunday.
Okay.
But I'm going to let you all know.
Amen, sister.
Let me break it down for the ones in the back who understand that language, because that's the one I need to reach right now. You understand what I'm saying? That's the one I need to reach right now. That one that don't use all of the proper words in the this, in the that. Station like this one, because you got to talk on that level. I can get on this level, this level, that level, and all these different levels. You know what I'm saying? I'm a multifaceted black woman, but don't get it twisted.
Talk.
I understand what the problem is, and we got to be able to address people on their level so you can meet them where they are. And then you can elevate and educate them on how to have some coot and use that verbal judo differently. But you have to meet them where they are, cause so you ain't talking at them, but you talking to them, with them, and helping them to understand, hey, brother, you ain't even got to I know you angry. I know you pissed off because you broke. I get that. But let me teach you how to live a legit life. Come on now, Legit Life LLC coming real soon. Y'all go ahead and hit Miss Chambers up. She's going to help y'all live a legit life out here in these streets. I need y'all to understand that. Don't go on there and try to get your LLC. That's already mass, okay?
It's already ours. Yeah, don't claim it.
It's already mass. Get
your
step
on
it. Don't try to claim
it.
It's already ours. But living a legit life is so important to our youth and helping them to understand what that really means and what that looks like. And it's hard. Like you said, once I was sitting on the corner talking to old heads, and old heads was like, don't do what I'm doing. I already plateaued, I already reached my highest level. That's in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing about it is if you don't have that exposure, that mentor piece is very important, because how are you going to get out of the hood when you don't see no out? Or when the drug dealer on the corner telling you, hey, shorty, you ain't going to school no more. You like school? Well, fuck school.
Right.
You don't like school no more. You like selling drugs. You like killing people. To go over here
come
and
get this paper.
Take this woman. Exactly. Or you going to be dead and your mama going to be dead. See, that's the reality that has to be addressed, because that is very real for a lot of these kids. And whether they speak it and tell you that, you would need to come from those same neighborhoods in these streets like them to understand that they can't even speak about that to you. They would be dead.
Facts.
You got to understand
that. Yeah.
Y'all didn't know. Y'all didn't know this was going to be this kind of show today. I know y'all didn't know it. But that's okay.
No. I knew it. Once you invited me, I knew it. I was getting myself into it. So I ain't surprised. You from the South Side. I know how you get down. But you spot on. You got to meet people where they are. You got to people where they are, 100%. See, you know what makes us different from, I wouldn't say what makes us different, but let me just explain it, and then maybe we can come up with the best language around it. The only thing, education, went to UW Madison, was fortunate to get a scholarship. Praise God for getting me out of the hood with that, because it made a difference. But a lot of the things that I've learned, I already knew by living in the hood, right? I picked up and watched a lot of stuff because I was observing and I listened and I paid attention. What college did just gave me the vocabulary, right? So now when I'm able to enter certain spaces, I can do what you did. I can, if I need to talk, you know what I'm saying, talk, that street talk, but meet a person on that level, I can get through to them and they can hear, right? a lot of times I'm speaking with brothers who have those experiences, and I'm able to shift so I can meet them where they are to let them know, hey, man, you ain't got to worry about this or that. Because, you know, people from Chicago, we say a whole lot without saying nothing at all. So you got to be able to hear and sniff out the...
My God, today.
you got to sniff out exactly what they're trying to say to go ahead and put it back to them. And then when I'm in spaces with, you know, my white colleagues or other educated people, I can, you know, again, I don't change who I am. I'm just able to adapt to that environment and use vocabulary that works in that space, right? Again, I don't shrink who I am. I don't take no backward steps and say, let me act like I'm phony or whatever. It's like, no, this is who I am, but I'm able to use certain vocabulary and certain spaces to meet people where they are to get to the get through to them, because my goal and mission in life is to help others reshape or restructure how they think to positively impact their body and uplift their spirit. So you got to be able to do that. But you talked about some, like, being legitimate. That's, you know, and right
come
now,
on, brother.
Ms. Chambers,
come on, you let me know if you're joining the team. Won't you let me know?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. You know, look.
Put me on the
email.
It's done.
I'm
just saying, I know what it takes. I know what it takes to win.
Yeah.
I know
absolutely.
What it takes to win.
You just got to get it.
And this
different.
Is how we win.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You
yeah,
better
absolutely.
Say that. You dare to be different. And be,
be
ready
different.
To do some unorthodox things to get the results at this point, because everything that has been done, they have not been as successful as they would like to be. And I would like to be the one to say, if anybody is going to heal the community and heal our little boys,
mm-hmm.
that is going to be our grown men. And if anybody is going to heal our
absolutely.
Sisters, it is going to be our black strong women. And we can
yes.
work together and heal each other at that point, but we have to do some mentoring and lifting these babies up, because at the end of the day, they don't have a foundation when their mothers have had kids since 12 and every year moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
When did they have a time
mm-hmm.
to be a child? We have a generation of children who have been parentified and have had to fend for themselves. They have learned well
yep.
off that they didn't need an adult to live and get through the day. That goes on unconsciously
mm-hmm.
in the mind. Why you think your kids don't receive?
Yeah.
Because you ain't teaching
yeah.
that. And this is also contributing to the mental health, because it's another part of the brain, that reptilian brain, where you have to live in survival mode.
You have to.
See,
you
let me tell
to.
Y'all, you have to. So I'm glad you brought that up, brother. And that's the truth. A lot of people don't make it out the hood. Walker, you were very fortunate to get a full ride scholarship, because I'm going
to
tell y'all a quick story about me. Miss Chambers was a hooper.
Tell your story.
I love basketball.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying? I had to play basketball every day because my mother was disabled, don't know how to read. My father was absent. My grandmother and all my people in my house, they came from the South, too. That's why when you said that migration, I'm like, that migration?
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. South migration to North, to Chicago, okay, and to these Milwaukee's and these other places, Green Bay's and stuff.
Yeah, Detroit.
That burned some
all them, yeah,
people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That definitely affected the culture. More than you guys would even understand. I'm talking about folks living over right at the same time the drug pandemic. You understand what I'm saying? Folks living in these Cabrini Greens
yeah.
and Robert Taylor Projects. Okay, I
mm-hmm.
well, come
mm-hmm.
on, shut up.
Low
everybody
end.
Else, a White Sox fan and a Chicago Cub fan, and that
yeah.
was the highlight of the week. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That does
absolutely.
Something to
don't let the Bulls play.
Oh, man,
yeah.
I've got my Bulls horn still from Subway from the championships. You understand me? I'm an MJ fan to the day I die, even to this day. I some things you can't share away. Miss Chambers still collect every J-Bone she get her hands on. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jordans and Yeezy.
Nah, that's
because I got
there
one
go.
For Chicago,
that
anything I do.
For sure.
So if y'all ever
want
to know what I want as a gift, go ahead and send me stuff for Chicago, y'all. I'm going to have to give y'all my P.O. box on the Black Sisters Talk page. Some Chi-Town folks, send me Chi-Town gear. I'm going to shout y'all out.
Yeah, drop that addy. Yeah, drop
that's
that
all,
addy. Yeah, so you can send that.
We love the gear. We love the gear. We love the
absolutely.
Gorgeous. We trying to get it. So, yes, that's what I'm talking
no,
about.
Certainly.
That's what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, now
you
man.
That,
heck yeah.
That upbringing does something to you, And it's either going, that trauma either going to make you depressed or you're going to be what they call in the book trauma growth. Trauma empowered is what I call it, where you don't freeze in that situation. You take flight in a different way where you take off and you take your negative experiences and you say, this is not my life. This is not my end-all, be-all. Because like I was trying to explain to you guys, I knew from a young age that I was not going to really have many options in life because of the circumstances I lived in. That's just it. And a lot of kids don't think like that. But I thank God for putting the thought in my mind to be one to have vision and say, I need to stay in my books to the point where I got straight A's in everything that I did. Any test they ever gave me, I passed it with flying colors. You know, the Iowa test, the basic skills, and all these standardized tests. And the test always got 99, 95, 97, 94 percentiles on them things. I was busting them joints down. They was confused. They thought I was cheating. You understand what I'm saying? So with all of that being said, I put my heart into playing basketball so that I could get a scholarship. And because of my mother's mental illness, she told the I had three scouts come to my house from three different schools, D1 and D2 JUCO colleges, four ride scholarships, everything. Do y'all know my mama turned these people down? Like, no, she can't go.
Yeah, wow.
Do you understand? So, brother, I'm happy you made it and you was able to get out of there because that is a struggle.
Absolutely. You know, my grandma did the same thing to me. You know, I didn't get sports really wasn't – I played a little ball. I mean, I get it twisted. Your boy hooped a little bit. I wasn't D1 ready, but I can stick some defense and set a pick and get a rebound like no other. But that's a different podcast conversation. But my grandmother did the same. You know, I was fortunate to secure – it's called the Posse Scholarship. It's a leadership-based academic scholarship. Amazing program that allows – a cohort of students to go off to a university and they support them throughout their journey. And that was how the Posse Foundation started. Shout out to Posse, by the way. It was a person who said, hey, I don't think I would have made it through college without my posse. Right. And that's how the idea of it. But anyways, grandma was like, no, I don't want you to go. I'm like, grandma, I love you, but your boy got to go because I had to see
you
myself failed. Beyond the environment that I was in, right? I had a vision for myself of being a business owner, right? Being able to help others, traveling the world, not being stuck in the four walls of Roseland. I grew up in Roseland, the Wild Hunters. Like, not being stuck in the four walls of that. So me being able to have a vision for myself, because, you know, there's eyesight and there's mind sight, right, with your mind, with your vision. Sometimes we just can't go off what we see. We have to go off what we envision for ourselves. And if we envision ourselves just – you know, being taken care of by the government forever, if we just envision ourselves being on the block forever, if we just envisioning just, you know what I'm saying, trading time for money, left over right, that's all you ever amount to be. But I knew that's not where I wanted to be stuck. So I had a vision for myself, beyond Roseland. And I had to tell Grandma, I love you. I'm right up the street in Wisconsin. I come on the weekends, but I got to go. I got to go chase my dream. You know what I'm saying? Because, Grandma, you've lived your life and you've done what you could. You know, now is my chance to try to go do it. And I know you want me to be here to take care of you, but I got to learn how to take care of me. You know, and to your point about us boys having to be men so soon, a lot of that happens because our dads get killed or they get hauled off to prison. So now we left and told you the man of the house now. You protect your mama. You make sure your sister good. You hold down the fort. And now we having to figure out what that means because I had to deal with that too. So a lot of the
I'm a boy.
Exactly. How do I be a man when my balls ain't dropped yet? Like, I ain't got no hair on my chin yet. Like, how do I even assume that role? But we began to take in what we see, right? We started to see the drug dealers. We started to see the players, the pimps, the hustlers, the whoevers. And we started to embody those people as a way to protect our family. And then the cycle continues, right? So who then step up and be like, hey, mama, why you couldn't sell that chicken off? Like, who going to do that? Like, hey, mama, dad, why do you keep doing the same behavior? Because we know that's the definition of insanity. So you got to disrupt that. And that's what us men got to do, like back to the topic on hand. our men gotta, we gotta be willing to step up and step out and speak out. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the only way we're gonna help and restore our black community. Because it was designed to disrupt our community. You pluck the man out, you disrupt the family, the black family, all the time. It was done way back in slavery. Way back in slavery. It was intentional. And sadly, we began to remain identified to that, right? Because if you were strong, that means you would be a good worker. So imagine that now, as men, we continue to define ourselves by that. That's what our value was caught up in. But I work, man, I work 80 hours this week, dog. I work, no, man. What about the time you spend with your kids, with your partner? Like, what about that time? Because a lot of times the kids like, yeah, I had everything I wanted, but all I wanted was some time for you, daddy. You know what I'm saying? All I wanted was some time for you, bro. I had a conversation with my brother about that yesterday. He was like, man, what you think of me? I'm like, man, you know, I knew I had a brother, but the only time we had a relationship was when he was in jail. So we used to talk on the phone. So I had to start to connect with other men and guys who I can call brothers. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, bro, all I wanted was just to spend time with you, to get to know you. He's like, damn, that's real. I'm like, yeah, man. Like, again, I just wanted my big brother around so I can learn from him and we can work out together and I can ask him about girls and ask him about things that I couldn't ask my dad because my dad wasn't around type thing. So we have to find a way to step outside of that box and walk our path because we all got to do it sometimes. Straight up.
You know what? And as I hear you say that, Walter, I really empathize with your brother because I'm thinking about what happens in life with men when they're forced to have to talk and they're in an isolation like that. So then they start to tap back into reality of actually meeting a person because when you free, you out here in a room full of a bunch of people talking about you alone, but when you're in a room all alone by yourself, you reaching out to make a connection. And when the person is free again, they then again have this issue with making a connection. What do you know, by working with so many men over in the court system, what do you see happening there? Give me some insight on that if you can.
The things that our men are running from while they're in the streets or not behind bars, it catches up to them once they get on that side, right? Because now, because on this side, right, I can look and pretend to be who I want you to think I am, right? We're not legitimate, right? Because I can not smile and you think I'm tough, but meanwhile my heart is beating out my chest and my knees are bucking, right? So when you get on that, I've never been in jail, thank God, I've never been locked up. Never been in that type of environment to know what that experience is like. So I can only imagine the pressures that those brothers are going through and sisters as well. You know what I'm saying? But what happens is they get in there, and here's what I've learned in working with men. But now they're stuck with their thoughts. So everything that they've been running from or masking their emotions in, popping pills, drinking, having a lot of sex, going to the clubs, being on the block, whatever, like now all of that cease and you're stuck with those thoughts that you've been trying to avoid. And those thoughts become so dark, they become so heavy, and it's like, oh my God, what am I about to do? So what happens is it starts to cause a decline because now you question your worth, you question your value. You've already lacked confidence, you already lack self-esteem because of the facade you present. Now you're forced in an environment where you have to really, really, really think about what you're thinking about. You know what I'm saying? And if only if we can spend more time not in that space, addressing what we're thinking about and not running from or masking the things we're experiencing, oh, what a population we would have of men who will be free. Oh, what a population we would have of men who can stand up for themselves, for our sisters, for our sons, for our daughters, and not back down, and not back down. But unfortunately, when they get in that environment, it becomes like a bulldozer, if you will. Like, them thoughts come hitting you, and now you wallowing in shame. And to your point, that paranoia, that anxiety, that depression shows up, you know, and now you're wallowing in these emotions. And now you don't know how to express it. How do I express that? again, because a lot of our brothers like the vocabulary. So that's what I try to do. I try to work with the men to say, hey, man, I help them learn the vocabulary, learn language, learn ways to express themselves, and not feel like they have to always resort to just physicality, you know, because anybody can get their ass whooped, right? Anybody can display some strength, but can you think? Can you problem solve? Can you see yourself out of a situation? Can you talk yourself out of a situation without feeling you have to prove something?
Can you avoid
you know, so
situation?
I try to exactly. And know that that doesn't make you less of a man. And that's what
exactly.
we have to do, right?
That's
Jason
what we
Wilson.
Need to talk about that.
Amazing,
right there,
amazing brother, man. He was asked, like, what's the definition of a man? And he was like, there isn't one. I'm like, hell yeah, brother. That's what I'm, because you can't define
that's what
us.
That's talked about.
Because when you say what's a man, right, we, man got to be strong, got to provide for his family, got to protect his family, got to be the breadwinner. But it's like, there's so much more to you than just those things. Because what happens is when we can't provide, now we feel inadequate, right? When we can't protect, now we feel weak. Or when we don't display strength, now we are punk. And it's like, there's so many emotions, there's so many complexities that come with us as a human being. Bro, I can't be strong all the time. I can't be there to protect you all the time. You know, I can't provide for you and provide for this family and that family. I can't take care of two households all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much more. We have to stop limiting ourselves to that definition of manhood and realize that if we go out, we have to create the man we want to be and not longer get defined by those limited words, because there's so much more to us, so much more. And once men start to conceptualize that, man, we can make some progression. But they don't make you a punk to say, hey, man, you hurt my feelings. They don't make you soft. They don't make you a B-word. I don't know if I can cuss on your show. I know I try to keep it professional.
They don't make you a bitch
like,
or
make
a
you...
punk, MF, or none of that. Because
yeah.
Nick Saban's going to say that
yeah,
MF, but that's a
okay.
Samuel Jackson cuss word. That's a woo. That's
yeah,
a
yeah,
hard
yeah.
We don't do that.
Yeah, he got a trademark or something. But, yeah, we got to. But, yeah. But yeah, that's some of what I see with the men I work with and how I work to empower them. But I got to get to that deep rooted stuff. You know, I'm working with a brother now who he got some deep rooted beliefs that I'm like, bro, we gotta poke holes in that belief system, because now you operate from a belief system that no longer works, because you're facing
exactly.
something that you have to adjust to and adapt to. So if you're stuck in your old way of thinking, because he's just like, I got to get back to how I was, bro, maybe going back to how you was didn't work for how you got here. So now you're going back to do the same thing? No, let's pivot. Let's go a different path. Let's do something different. Because there's more to you than going back. Like, we don't go back. We move forward. We may shift to the left or right, but no backward steps. You know what I'm saying? So just helping men see that, I think, is very, very crucial.
Oh, Walter,
yeah.
You did an amazing job on that point. I just want you to know that hit on plenty different things. See, that's what I'm saying. When we might need to just get a whole show called The Chi-Town Players, because I'm telling you, when the Chi-Town folks wake up, this is what it's like at a spade table, okay? This is a spade
absolutely.
Table
absolutely.
Right now. Period.
Oh, yeah,
this
when you're
is
talking
how
your
that
talk.
Looks. When you're talking your talk and we able to sit back and listen and respect one another and be in agreement, this brother
mm-hmm.
is spot
mm-hmm.
on. There is no reason why men should be placed in a box, just like there is no reason that us women should be placed in a box. We
yeah,
have to allow
yourself,
stereotypes
man.
To define our roles, and we get so caught up into what other people are thinking of us. Like,
mm-hmm.
to a certain extent. I want to say that loosely, to a certain extent, because people do have mental health and they don't understand what the limits are.
Yeah.
So there are still limits. There are rules to life that you must understand. And that is the problem. People are not giving you those rules. The box is completely different to not committing crimes and not using decision-making so you don't go to jail, which is what Walter just
right.
said. Like, you have to know the rules, but you also need to know within a box that you don't have to be soft because you tell somebody you're hurt. You ain't a punk because
mm-hmm.
you take care of your wife and you take care of your children.
Exactly.
You have mental health, man. See, this is what we really need to talk about, Walter, the signs. How do these men know that they need help? Because Miss Hayes could tell you all that, but I want y'all to hear some of it, because I am letting you know, I am letting you know that there are reasons why we have serial cheaters and men who cheat, and all of these other feelings that men do things to feel and feel don't feel. This
Absolutely.
Is the reason to go get help, because your actions lead to other actions where we getting all of these other broken homes. The
yeah.
new agenda
yeah.
needs to be a man, and this is what a man does. And if a man is not happy, he lets a person know that, and he then figures out himself, whatever. There has to be some sense with what's happening in our community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, because there's
yeah.
more mental health begetting more mental waiting, because these children, these little boys, they're watching their mother try to find love.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they're supposed to do what their mother's doing in the role of the men. And this is another thing that's happening.
For sure.
Like,
for sure.
You know you're doing wrong. Let's talk about that, because men have to take some accountability in these areas.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you're right on. You know, to your question, you know, I think a couple of things that come to mind when that can show signs that us men are in distress and need some help or need somebody to talk to or process with. I think one, when we have a short fuse, when we're irritated, you know, when like every little thing just pisses us off, you know, like a shoe drop. And it's like, why the hell that shoe dropping? It's like, hold on, brother. Like, it just, somebody just kicked it over on accident. Like, why are you popping off? So when we have those short fuse and don't have patience or responding to things with love and compassion, I think that's a sign that something else is going on that needs to be addressed. I think we can break it down if needed, but like when men are just busy, right? Like, dog, ain't no way you need to be that busy to not take care of your family, right? To be there with your wife, to be there with your kids. Like, ain't no way. What's going on? What are you avoiding? What are you trying to hide, or what are you trying to get around? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you trying to mask that you feel like you have to be on the go all the time, all the time? Now, I'm not taking away nobody hustle. Hey, I'm from the city. I grew up in a house full of hustlers. Like, hustle how you hustle. I never knock it. But when you finding yourself just always on the go and not giving that time to the people you love and care about or the people you claim to love and care about, I think that's another sign. I think when we hear things and not fully listen to things, because, like, we're not fully present, right? I can hear you, but if I'm not listening to my partner, if I'm not listening to my family, if I'm not listening to these people and really hearing, or as we talk about in therapy, empathizing, right, being able to try to understand things from their perspective that they're just not saying, I think that could be a problem as well. And then lastly, this need to be in control all the time. That is my way or the highway, that you can't talk to nobody. You can't have no guy friends, or you can't go out with your friends for ladies' night. And, like, you know, we have this sense of control and power, which are signs of domestic violence. And I do domestic violence work as well. So I work with men who batters. And really, to your point, that holding them accountable, right? We have to debunk this power and control we feel we need to have over women and our wives and our partners. You know what I'm saying? Because that become problematic and it become abuse, right? Psychological abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse. Because abuse looks different. It ain't just physical. Economic abuse, right? It looks
right.
A variety of different ways. And when we find ourselves struggling or just having a desire to always be in control or to always assert our dominance through our power, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because now you have the misconception that that's what you're supposed to do. And now you're silencing your wife, right? You causing her to withdraw. You're making her fearful. Now she don't want to talk with you. You know, and I shouldn't want to be around you, and it doesn't help things. It only makes things worse. So I think those are some of the things that men should start bringing attention to, or women. Like, if you notice your partners are just short fuse, or feel like they're trying to control you, or just like, hey, babe, what's going on? Everything okay? Most men are going to be like, yeah, everything cool, because we haven't had a chance to allow our thoughts to catch up with our bodies to catch up with our thoughts, but being able to try to check in on that and also having men to find other men to talk to about those things. Like, hey, brother, how do you deal with this situation? Or how did you navigate that scenario so that you can start to learn different ways of addressing issues that may show up in your life? So those are some of the ways to your question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Brothers, I hope y'all over there with y'all pen and pad this weekend, because this is serious stuff. There's a reason for these behaviors, and a lot of the times people think that they have to be talking to a wall to be considered to need help. And what I want you guys to understand is that we don't have to allow things to become severe before we start to take things serious. We really need to be able to be a little bit more proactive when it comes to our mental health. And what are the warning signs is the first step to understanding how to identify that you need help. We don't want to spiral people. We want to say, wow, this is an issue. Feel bad, but I know it ain't right in the back of your head. There's something that you need to do. There's a part of you that's holding on to the attachment, like the access of a situation. And so that means you need to boss up and learn how to understand, deal with your emotions, communicate, let people know. It's men out here still with women they don't even want to be with, and they just in these relationships because they don't want to have nobody feeling. I'm just telling you the truth. There's stuff that's going on out here, and people are not talking about it. And it's like, because I've been raised to be a gentleman, because let's not ignore the fact that there are some men who are actually have morals, and that's overlooked. And they're looked at as the soft ones. And, you know, these are how these mental issues pop up for men in different ways. Yes. I need to give you guys tangible examples of this, because it would seem like this is just an everyday problem. But let me explain to you guys what mental health is. Mental health becomes anything that's affected your daily living. So if your woman is thought, this is a problem. And that's why I got to give you an example, but then also help you to really understand what I am saying. Because this is how these things start to matriculate into issues of your job, issues with your wife, issues with your kids, issues with whoever your partner is. These become second-tier issues. Okay, we're looking at addressing your basic needs and then your hierarchy of needs that go above your basic needs. You want a nice car, you want to keep gas in that month. You know what I'm saying? The gas is high right now.
Talk about it.
That's pissing people off too. You know what I'm saying? Me, all of these problems. Men be like, man, I'm walking around with all these problems, girl. You stressing me out. Talk about some, why you don't take me out no more? Girl, what you mean? You ain't going nowhere. Gas $6.
Gas $6 and groceries too damn high.
Let's get a garden.
Yeah.
This is what's happening. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to be mindful is what I want you to come to the reality of. The realization is we have to be mindful, people. Mindful. Walter, you did an amazing job. I want to check in and see if anybody on the line has any question they want to ask you.
Oh, yeah.
The viewers saying they hate that this is last. So y'all going to be okay. Y'all going to get some more of Walter when we come back after the season. I'm going to talk to him about it. Don't worry, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Let's get it.
Hey, you guys, the lines are open. I just want to check in and see if anybody has any questions they want to ask Walter. I think he's doing an amazing job.
I'm happy to ask any questions, and if I can't answer it at the moment, I definitely can get back to you. That ain't no problem.
I know that's right.
But I love
what
you're saying. I like the question as they come in. I'll just share a couple of things I'm just thinking about as you're speaking here. And being mindful, right? That's where it starts at. It starts in our mind. That's why I named my business Think and Grow, right? You have to constantly renew your mind on a daily basis, from a daily basis to an hourly basis to a minute basis to a second basis, right? And you have to constantly redirect and reposition and rethink, because a lot of times, again, what we meditate on and ruminate on starts to show up in our behavior. So if you're noticing that something's not working, how can you look at it differently, right? How can you bring in other perspectives to help you address that situation? So being mindful and or just being aware, right? And as you become more self-aware of you, it becomes so much more easier to deal with other people. Because I know my limits. I know my limitations. Well, I know my fears. Well, I know what bothers me. I know what ticks me. And I can express that to say, hey, I don't like your tone of voice. That doesn't work well for my personality type. Can we find another way to chop it up? Right? So being able to express that, knowing that that's what I need, because that's me being aware of me. And there's nothing wrong with that, because when you know what you need, you can tell people what you need. And I think that's a part of
exactly.
what us men struggle with. We don't know what we need because we think a person's supposed to just read our minds, right? And and we do that in relationships. I'm guilty of that too, right? I used to, in relationships, I would think that my actions was saying what I needed, was saying that I love you or that saying that I care about you or that I'm here for you. Because I was raised to be a gentleman, grew up in a house full of women. Well, you got to take that trash out. You got to hold them groceries. You got to open that door. Like, I was raised that way. But I think a lot of times I felt like my actions were enough. And when I had to learn being in a relationship, like, no, Walt, you got to say how you feel. You got to speak up. Because this woman ain't finna read your mind. Like, she can't read your thoughts. You know what I'm saying? So being able to do that is so important. So stay mindful. To be aware is to be alive. That's Southside Chicago right there. That's a quote from the Southside, just to let y'all know. To be aware is to be alive. Which
to
means you gotta be mindful.
That's to be alive. Period.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep your head
or,
on a swivel. Okay.
Exactly. Stay or mindfulness. However you wanna look at it, right? It's the same thing. Same principles. Mindfulness, to be aware is to be alive. Same principles.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I'm glad you
did any questions
that
come in?
Too.
I'm just running my mouth.
I mean, come on now, Walter. You know, they probably got some comments, Walter. I don't know if they got any questions. Let's see what's going on. Hey,
okay,
yeah,
cuz. Hey, cousin. I'm not a working girl, but
up.
I just want to say, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, perfect. Hello, everybody in the Black Sisters Talk community. First of all, cousin, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to come onto your platform, and kudos to you. You know I love this platform. This is church for me, weekly. But I hate that this is your last show for the season, because I'm telling you, and Walter, hold on, sir, I got one for you. But kudos, LaWanda. You have done a fantastic job this whole season. And today, this is so necessary with everything that's going on in our community and our culture. We're looking at us just spiraling out of control, downward path.
Yeah.
We need these
yeah.
type of conversations. Walter, thank you so much for being brutally honest, transparent, and just really just courageous. That is really courageous. You share so much on this line, from childhood to accountability of how our men are handling our women. Kudos to you. It's just such a breath of fresh air to hear a young black man able to articulate in the manner that you've done and spoke so well and spoke so directly to necessary issues that needed to be addressed. And these are ongoing issues that need to be addressed. So I just love this whole segment. And also, LaWanda knows I'm working, but I also wanted to know how we can get in touch with you and how we can follow you, because as this is the last subject of session for this radio show, we're going to still want to hear stuff that you're saying, sir. So please tell us how we can follow you and get more of this life you guys are spilling. LaWanda, you as well, just so transparent. I know it's not easy with sharing your experiences and growing up. You guys have just spoken to so many things. And these these mental health issues are not limited to gender roles. We all experience the same thing. I was listening to some of the stuff, Walter, that you were saying growing up in your household, and I'm a woman, and I experienced the same exact thing. From wanting somebody to show me, and although I've had my mom, but I still wanted us. My mom was heavily in church. I needed to be streetwise. I wanted people to show me. I wanted other older people, my older sisters, my aunts, my cousins, my neighbors. You know, I wanted to cling on to these women to learn things that I wasn't getting, because I know my mom was not limited to anything, but she was not in the streets, and I needed to be prepared for that. I'm from Chicago, LaWanda. I love what you said. We've been city girling before the city girls were even born. Y'all, just great job on today's show. This is just so necessary, and we need more of this. We need more of this. Until we sit down, Walter, like you said, and find a safe place to unpack and heal on each other, because we're going back and forth, flinging mud. Men hurt the most, women mm-hmm. hurt the most. We are mm-hmm. all hurting. We are all hurt. Equally hurting.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to just come on and just give you guys your kudos for today, because,
Thank you, both
of you have been on, just totally on point with all of this. So necessary, and you are speaking to the times that we are living in today. Thank you so much. It is well appreciated and well needed.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for speaking life to us. I appreciate
it. Oh, no problem. You guys have been giving life this whole hour and a half. So kudos, kudos, kudos. LaWanda, I cannot wait till you have him back on your show when you come back.
Oh, absolutely. Walter, you got to sign the line on that, Walter. So.
I hear you. I hear you. Count me in. You know, Ms. Chambers call, I come running. Ain't no thing.
Hello, hello, hello.
I appreciate you, Walter.
Absolutely.
Hey.
She asked about my info. But no, somebody else joined?
Yeah,
Hold
on.
Yeah,
share your info with her. Okay, because I'm like, I want to make sure she gets it, though. So don't forget.
Either way, absolutely. Yeah, I can share that on the back end of it. Let me do it now in case she can sign off. So if transparent, like, I'm not a huge social media person. But I'm working on it. God is working on me in that department. I promise he is, which means I'm hiring somebody who can do it for me. but if you want to get a hold of me, on my website, thinkandgrowllc.com. Again, that's thinkandgrowllc.com, all one word. I'm on there. I have some blogs that I've written to talk about some of the things we're talking about today, and other topics about listening, relationships, and whatnot, and how to let things go. I do have an Instagram. It's think_growth, LLC. That's THINK_GROWLLC. You can follow me on there if you like. I keep a quote or two somewhere down the page to check out. So yeah, or you just email me directly, walter@thinkandgrowllc.com. Yeah, just hit your boy up. I'll be happy to help and support however I can.
Very good. I'm so excited for you.
Say it again, I'm sorry.
The email is walter@thinkandgrowllc.com.
Yep. And if you go to the website and contact us, it'll come directly to my assistant, and she'll make sure I get it.
I'm going to make sure that I share this on my platform as well, because, Walter, you are a breath of fresh air. You know, as you guys were on the air, I was sending the link out to different men that I know, friends and family, that I wanted to get in on this conversation, because that's another thing that we don't do. We don't have these conversations. I love, Walter, that you said even for other men. Ask other men how they're managing, how they're getting it, how they're getting by. We have to take the stigma off of not knowing, or the stigma off of not being educated on everything. Nobody knows everything. It is okay to ask for help. I hate that we have set ourselves up with the mindset that we can't ask for help.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Exactly.
You know, I'm intentional about that with my homies. You know, when I check in with them, hey bro, how you taking care of yourself? You know, if they give me, man, I'm like, hey man, take 5 minutes to yourself. Well, you got to get up a little bit early in the day, or not take a meeting or decline a call. Do something for yourself, you know, because we get so busy and then we start to neglect the people that we love, you know, and they get the short end of the stick, and that's unfair to them, you know. So, yeah, you spot on. You know, to your point.
Hello, guys.
Go ahead. Somebody else got something? I'll talk.
Hi. It's great. Keep talking, Walter. This is Stephanie. Walter, met through email, so I wanted everybody to know who is looking for Walter's information. If you guys are already a friend on Black Sister Talk Instagram or Facebook page, we will be posting all of Walter's information. So if you were driving or you're out and about and you weren't able to write it down, anytime after 5 p.m., as soon as I'm done with my little comment, I'm going to jump right on Instagram and I'm going to post all of Walter's information, and we will continuously
post Walter's information, not only for June's Men's Awareness Month, just but moving forward, because whether Walter know it or not, he is more than a friend of family on this platform, and we look forward to having him come back and speak his expertise on all, you know, mental health issues, especially surrounding our brothers. So just anybody who's listening, just know Walter will definitely give his information again, but you will be able to find it on our Facebook and our Instagram page within the next 30 minutes. Walter, I have more of a – you're very welcome, brother. You are a breath of fresh air, and it's very much appreciative because just like our young ladies and women need you know, selective support, same goes with our young men, our brothers, and you sound not only from personal and for personal experiences, but also professional expertise that you are definitely what's needed in the community, and we are appreciative. One of the things that we discussed last week that you kind of touched on and wondering if you have anything else to say, I was discussing with LaWanda and the listeners last week about some of my experiences of being an educator and the young men being shamed in my, you know, kindergarten and pre-kindergarten classroom if they were holding a baby doll and or if they had a, you know, princess dress on, but he, you know, the young man, the baby didn't think of it as a princess dress. He thought of it like a uniform, like Superman, and he was holding the baby because he was trying to be a good father, not because he was trying to be, you know, anything else, even though it's okay to be anything and everything. And I've had fathers and mothers extremely angry, and he's not allowed to wear dresses, and he's not, and I know you mentioned that, like, you know, I was raised to open doors, and I was raised to do that, and I was told this and that, and how that kind of, you know, built the brain of, like you were saying, working with some of your clients now, and how, you know, they don't want to be perceived a certain way because it looks a certain way. And for me, it was so confusing because it was, you know, if you want to be a good father, that shows by modeling, and all the young man was doing was modeling what he might have been seeing, which was completely healthy, but we have pushed on a negative narrative and a bias because we saw him in a princess dress holding a doll, and here he is thinking he's a superhero holding a baby like a good father, you know, and how these different thought processes, this is 3, 4, and 5-year-olds I'm talking to, and then you see the difference because they have been talked to that you can't do this and you can't do this, and now I'm having to speak to them about using their words because they are scared to just say anything, or now I've been told that I'm, you know, a sissy or whatever words were used in the home or however for doing this. And now I'm pushing kids and hurting kids. So it went from you want your child to be a bully or to make sure that he's being a boy's boy, and he was still being very much a boy's boy while he was in the princess dress. And I just feel like some of the children that I often work with sound like the men that you worked with who were, you know, very uptight about, you know, not looking like a punk or not looking like this and that, because this was something that was pretty much pushed on their mindset as their brain is still developing to really know who they are, let alone that it is okay and it is wonderful and you do want to be a good father and or, you know, a brother or somebody who opens the door. Like, chivalry is dead. I have people who laugh at, you know, friends who open the doors for, you know, I have male friends who open the doors for me and all my homegirls, and, you know, they'd be like, you know, this clown, no. Why is that to be a clown?
Right.
He was raised right or something of that nature because he's being respectful, you know, because you would want that for your mom or your sisters, right? So, you know, you definitely touched on it, and I appreciate that. But, what is your thought process on that, and how do you help? You did discuss it, but, you know, even with the men who you were speaking of, some of them are fathers. And I often wonder, while they're getting that help from you, what damage have they might have done to their own son or daughters with their biasness and thought process? How do you feel about all that? How can we help people, you know, or help men, you know, not push some of the things that were pushed on them to kind of change the narrative and change that cycle?
Absolutely. No, you touched on a lot of things. I think as men, as parents, you know, when we see our kids doing things that goes against what we think they should do, we should become curious. You know, ask them, hey, what were you getting at by making that? Or what were you getting at by dressing that doll up? Or what do you see when you look at this doll? Because we have to realize that what we as adults see is different from what that kid sees. To your point, he saw
absolutely
a uniform and a superhero.
Yeah.
Right? As men, I saw someone who's being feminine. Then it's like, okay, what does it mean to be feminine? When you know so many strong black women. So it's like, is it a problem to want to be a woman? Like, so it just becomes very, very confuddled. But I think having that curiosity and then being willing to see from the perspective of our kids. And I know this is not Sunday, but if we talk in Bible and scripture a little bit, it talks about that, like, be like a baby, right? Be, and that's at the purest form, right? And being fearless and seeing people for who they are. You know, kids don't come out the womb mad and disgruntled and having bias and having hate. And, like, no, like, they come out in the world, they begin to consume those things. You know what I'm saying? So being like a baby in the sense of, like, let's see the world for the amazing possibilities that it can be. Because kids have imaginations. Well, I can't speak to the generations. Now, when I was a kid, we had imaginations. We didn't play too many games. We had to go out and play red light, green light. You know what I'm saying? We had to go out and play touch my hand, last person touch my hand is riding in. Like, we had to use our imagination. Let's play house. Let's play teacher, right? Let's play school.
What's
like, who's
mama?
The teacher? Who's the, you
know,
you know
Mr. Williams?
Is
this Mr. Williams?
Hey.
Hello?
Yeah, that's my thought on that one.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Williams,
no,
you got another caller who got a question. Hold on, sir.
Yeah, I got a question.
Are you finished with the last comment, Walter? Because you got another question.
That was the. Hopefully, I drove home the point, but that was my main point was, like, we have to be curious and be willing to see things from our kids' perspective and know that we don't have to project our perspective onto them, but try to enter their world and understand it from them, because we don't want to shame them. We want to shut that down. We want them to explore life and have fun. And I'm done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Walter.
Of course.
Thank
you. So you got a brother on the line.
You know, I was going to say, you know, nowhere in ancient traditional world do you see males taking on the roles of females like what you just mentioned. Even today, where a male identifies being a woman, even today, if you want to see how human beings have lived out tradition since time immemorial, through tradition that's been tried, proved, and tested, you can still find it today. You know, not only in some European societies, Asian societies, but even African societies, where a young boy or a young girl, or a young boy in particular, will stay on the mama's tit sometime up until they're 5 years old. And then they go with the men and go through training to become a man. A very strenuous training. In some tribes, like the Dagara, they're in Burkina Faso. Some of them don't make the training. Some of them lose their life.
Mm-hmm.
So only do you see this, what's going on in America of recent. If you want some therapy, I would suggest go to some of these countries. Go to Thailand and have a relationship with one of those Thai women. They're very humble, considerate, and they won't tear up the suspension in your car, if I can make a jokingly joke. So, nowhere is the in ancient history have males took on them the roles of females, right, in dress or mindset that I know of. But enjoy America and the new fad that we see coming along and see how long it lasts.
Can you tell me where you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from the Midwest and the South. The good old South, where people are still, they show mannerism, respect, greeting, yes, sir.
Yeah.
No,
I love the South.
Well, I do appreciate your comment. I'll let you answer first, Walter, and I'll finish.
Well, yeah, I don't think it was a question. It sounded more like a comment. But I definitely hear what you're
right,
saying.
Right, but
brother,
do you
want
to comment back to him?
Yeah. I just share a few thoughts. You know, you're right. I think each culture is different. You know what I'm saying? And we have to be willing to understand things from that culture, and be willing to embrace those things that come with it. You're right. I would say, you know, a lot of things that's happening in America now are new. I wouldn't say it's new. It's just in our face because social media and other media outlets allow us to see things and be more exposed to things now. But I think it's important as men, we don't shame other people for who they decide to be or what they decide to become. Because who are we to do that, right? Like, because I don't agree because I don't agree with how I think you should present yourself doesn't mean you can't present yourself how you want to. I just don't agree, and I just still respect you and be cordial with you off the strength. I don't lose anything by that, you know? So I think we just have to be willing to be open-minded to other cultures and just the evolution of the that's happening here in America, for sure. But that's my comment. Thanks, Ms. Chambers. And thanks for the thought, brother. I appreciate that. Shout out to the South.
Absolutely. Thank you for responding to that, Walter, because I definitely think that it gives the space to opinions and experiences, because what works for one person may not universally fit for the whole. However, I think that we all should be in a position right now, currently, where we can respect one another, male or woman,
mm-hmm.
and understand that we're a team. This is a partnership. Nobody is above anyone. And in that sense, we also have to stop thinking that certain things are for men to do and for women to do. That's a very stagnant type of mindset. When we're living
Thank
in a
you.
Time right now where things are not simple, where things are not like they used to be, I would love to be a stay-at-home wife. Do you understand? Let me get on my soapbox.
Uh-oh, I think you cut out there, Ms. Chambers.
No, I have to get away from that noise because y'all need to hear me clear when I say what I'm going to say right now.
Okay.
Women do not desire to want to do all of these things. I mean, I don't. I love my job and my career, my business and all those things, but I also understand the purpose in it, my why, right? Because the why of it is living, surviving, having a life that you want to live. And so we all have to figure out legitimately what is it going to take for that to be accomplished. And so women, yes, should be women and be feminine. And men should be men and be masculine. But we also have to be aware that some men have feminine qualities and still like women. And we have to realize that some women have masculine qualities but still like men. And there are things in which we have to understand that are not just so one-sided. We have to look at people as individuals, truly, and treat them as such. Because what's going to work over here in your household, that might work for that brother. Because of the time and his traditions and his values and his upbringing. But we all live in a very different time right now where traditions are different. We're trying to unlearn a lot of this trauma from our parents and our grandparents and break a lot of these generational curses. I don't care how many civilizations that this went on. Did it work? We still trying to get it right. So everybody needs to live to their own standards and understand what that looks like for them. I mean, 20, 30 years ago in the 40s and 50s, it might have worked, but I would like to think it also was survival. Those women were domestically abused. Those women were beaten. Those women were cheated on and developed the mental health that some are still trying to unlearn some things from right now. I'm not gonna endorse that mindset. I have to speak up for myself because this is my show, and nobody's gonna come up on here talking no boo boo like that. We gonna put that on up out of here because I'm not down with that.
For
I'm
sure.
not down with that mess. Because I know
for
your
sure.
wife will
no,
be over there.
On.
She heard this show. She's going to smack you on the back of your neck, Walter. You know that ain't right.
No, because, you know, some of us men are stuck in the old ways of doing things and the old ways of thinking, and that's where our growth stops, right? If we're so mentally caught up in the old ways or the old days, that means our mind aren't thinking forward, right? Like we're trying to project the past into the future, and that's where we start to lose or become fearful, because you can't project the past or the old ways into the future because you don't know what's going to come. So you got to learn to be in the present and learn to embrace what is and how it is and be willing to pivot, because it changes every single day. To your point about the shared responsibilities, you're right. You know, traditionally, woman clean and men go out and hunt and work. It's like, that ain't the case no more, man. You know, you got women who can hold it down on their own. And you got men who like to cook, who like to clean, who like to do things, as they say, domesticated, that the woman may not want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you got to be willing to respect that and be open to that. And that's how I met my partner and I, right? That's how we work. She like, I don't like to clean. I'm like, what you mean you don't like to clean? I used to get up on Saturdays every day and clean. But I had to learn that cleaning for her was a trauma, right? Because that was a punishment, right? And so now when she's clean, it takes her back to those traumatic experiences. So I had to be like, okay, well, babe, don't worry. When you cook, I'll wash the dishes, right? When I cook, you wash the dishes. Like, let's have some shared responsibility so that I don't feel like that's what you have to do or this is what I have to do. You know, so having those conversations, which I think a lot of us men don't do, talking to our partners, hey, what do you want to do around the house? You may learn that your wife don't want to wash your dirty drawers. You better wash your old dirty drawers. But you got to be okay with that. Because, like, do you want to be right or do you want to be together? All right? And if you really want to be together, you'd be willing to make that sacrifice.
Let's get to it. Wow. Because we're too caught up on being right or wrong when we need to have our focus on being effective. Everybody wants this power and control, but we need to be effective and be intentional. If you are with, like I said, if you guys have a balance, there has to be some communication, because now this internalization, because I don't speak up when this is bothering me, it becomes a problem till 5-10 years later you say, I don't like this. And then your partner's looking dumbfounded because they're like, why wouldn't you say anything for 10 years? Oh, well, this is your time.
Exactly.
Just tell me.
Because we think y'all can read our mind. That's why. Yeah, we think y'all can read our mind. No, y'all ain't no mind readers. But you read our behavior.
Say that
y'all
again.
The fact that we disengage.
Y'all
read the fact that we ain't present. You know what I'm saying? And that's it. And some guys may hit us and disagree, you know. And, you know, I like disagreements. I know how to disagree. I can disagree and still coexist. You know what I'm saying? And this message may not be for everybody. But it's real, whether you like it or not. And I've seen how it has impacted and changed the lives of men I've worked with and their relationships to where they're happier. They have peace, right? There's peacemakers and there's peacekeepers. Like, as men got to decide, when do we make peace and how do we keep peace? And that's, let me come back on this. I got more to talk about.
Say that again. You're going to have to talk. That's a whole nother segment right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the comeback topic. We already got the work done, period. Because that's a whole nother topic. I think that the men have to peel back the layers of where this anger is coming from, where this isolation is coming from, because the trauma response is fight, flight, or freeze. And that has to be dealt with, because anytime you step into another situation that is a perceived threat, that fear becomes generalized. And so that has to be talked to, because we all responding out of protection, keeping ourselves safe.
Yeah.
And we need to know that we're already safe. So how do we get to a state of that? Oh my God.
And distinguish what's a real threat versus a actual threat, right? And that's something my therapist, my counselor, helped me to understand, right? She's like, if you think there's a boogeyman in the closet, right, and you know that there isn't one, but like that fear is, you still feel that same level of fear if there's actually a boogeyman in the closet. But you know, ain't no damn real there's a boogeyman in the closet. But that feeling, that fear still shows up in our body just the same as there's an actual threat of somebody trying to break in our door in the middle of the night. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be willing and able to distinguish what's perceived versus what's real. And really, but again, it just takes being more self-aware, because you become more self-aware like that. But anyway, thank you so much for having me on the show. I know my time is limited. So much to talk about. So much to talk about. Shout out to the building.
It was an amazing show. Walter. And I really, really appreciate you for coming on. And like I said earlier, I'm definitely looking forward to getting you back on the air, buddy, because I don't know. I think you might find your niche. You know, I don't think you – you know how you just kind of stumble up on a couple of things and you be like, I really enjoyed that. I think I could make space for something like this. I think so.
Absolutely.
I really, really enjoy having a convo with you.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
It's done. You did an amazing job. But I wanna share with you guys, because again, we're gonna share all of Walter's info on the social media page, so please check that out. We'll share it everywhere. We're gonna run it on rotation. We got some Small Business Saturdays coming up, so be on the lookout for that. I got some really, really good books I wanna remind you guys to check out over the summer for your reading, okay? I wanna share these books with you because again, we're not gonna be on the show for a little bit, so I still wanna share some with you. So one book I would recommend is In the Black, 2050. It is a model for Black economic leadership in the 21st century. The author of this book is Trey Baker. He's amazing. You can check his website out, intheblack2050.com, if you want to get up on your economics in the Black community and how to grow that dollar and get that money to flow and grow and circulate. This brother has a whole blueprint plan in there to tell you exactly how to organize, how to do whatever it is you're trying to do. So check him out. If you're still in the beginning phases of your journey and you're trying to figure some things out, go ahead and get your Know Thyself, Naeem Akbar. Very, very, very good book. It's going to be a journey with the spiritual leader, member of the family who truly loves his family. He's going to give you the architect of transformation and defender of African people. This book is a very, very foundational good book to read. I always recommend The Souls of Black Folks with W.E.B. Du Bois. It's an oldie, but it's a goodie. Definitely good for your foundation. I will tell you guys to get your Know Your Bill of Rights. Go ahead and get that book. You want to read that. You always want to know how to protect yourself through the law. And the first step to doing that is being able to understand what your rights are so you can exercise them. I want to share with you guys all the books that we read this year during the book club, which was Untethered, Personal Journey to Freedom by Tina L. Payne. We read Treva's book, and we also did Leola's book, Life Beyond Abuse, Life Beyond Domestic Violence. So I want you guys to check those books out. If you still want to get up on your meditations and things like that, go ahead and get The Mindful Guide to the Law of Attraction. That's a meditation book. That's by Paige Oldham. Oh, and I can't forget this, The Destruction of Black Civilization. It's going to talk about all the great issues of a race from 4500 BC to 2000 AD. That is another good read. I'm actually reading that one now. It's a thick book. But nonetheless, check those books out. I'll share these on the social media page as well. I want to thank Walter for coming out on the show today. I appreciate you for celebrating Men's Mental Health Month with us. I want you guys to check out Think and Grow, Mind, Body, and Spirit. Go ahead and go to thinkandgrowllc.com. Go ahead and check Walter's website out. Go ahead and book with him for some services. My brother is virtual. Also, don't forget to check out the Just Tip Show on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Central Time in Chicago on AM 1870. You guys have a tremendous summer. I am so looking forward to seeing you guys back in September. I love you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you, Walter.
Of course, thank you. Peace.
AM 1570 and 95.9.
man.